Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Advent meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So far from the text. In Christ Jesus, the most unique baby in the history of the world, dear fellow redeemed. Our Advent theme this year is Behold Your God. So how often do you say the word behold? How often does someone say the word behold you? I'll bet not very often. It's not a word we use too much anymore. And yet, it is used over 300 times in both the Old and the New Testament. Behold means more than just look or see. It means to look at intently, to inspect, to pay attention to carefully examine, to contemplate, to understand. And so this Advent season, we are encouraging you to pay careful attention to carefully examine, to look intently at our God. So how many behold passages come quickly to mind? Perhaps Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Maybe the words of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus walking along the Jordan River. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Maybe Jesus' words when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Or maybe his last words to us in Revelation. Behold, I am coming quickly. Any other behold passages come to mind? Anybody? Go ahead. Any behold passages that come to mind? None. Okay. Well, this evening, as we look at Isaiah, his words to us, we'll behold and marvel. God certainly works in strange and mysterious ways, not the way that man expects. God delivered his people not by the power and strength of a mighty, famous person like Moses or King David, but through a little baby born and laid in a manger. To a child born to a poor mother, but also the child of God. We read in verse 6 again of our text. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In these verses, we see that this child has been given four special names that are really descriptive of his character, of his attributes. And these names are in sets of four of two words each. Listen to them and marvel. The first is Wonderful Counselor. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. Jesus is not only the Word, but He is the Word that comes to us. His Word is the greatest of all counsel. We know that the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Are you burdened? Depressed? Are you weighed down with suffering? Sorrow? Trials? Troubles? Loneliness? Grief? Suffering? Are you confused? Are you aimless in life? Nothing seems to matter anymore. You have turmoil. And turn to God's Word, for God's Word is the greatest counsel of all. It not only gives us faith to believe in Jesus Christ, it gives us the ability to live for Christ. And when we have those problems, it assures us that through His counsel of the Word, God will see us through every single problem, trouble, trial, whatever it is in this life, and eventually give us eternal life. In fact, Jesus fulfills that counsel and plan of salvation that He had for us, because He also is not just a wonderful counselor, He is the mighty God. Jesus is both true man and true God in one person. And therefore, He's able to defeat all of our enemies. He's a mighty war hero who's conquered sin, death, Satan, destroyed hell for us. All of our enemies. In fact, Jesus assures us in John 16, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 2, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them." This child is a wonderful counselor. This child is the mighty God. And thirdly, everlasting Father. Now the Son is not the Father in person, because they are separate identities. But the Son has the same kind of love that the Heavenly Father has for us, His children. We see that in that most blessed picture that David draws for us in Psalm 23, the picture of the Good Shepherd. We're lost, helpless, defenseless sheep, and Jesus is our Good Shepherd, who cares for us so much that He not only provides, protects, takes care of, and feeds us, He even lays down His life for us. In John 15, verse 9, Jesus says that He has the same love for us as a father has. He says, "As a father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." This love of Jesus for us is eternal. It's unconditional. It's not based upon what we do or what we have done. It's based upon what Jesus is. Eternally merciful and gracious to us sinners. And fourthly, this child is the Prince of Peace. Jesus has destroyed all the evil powers of this world. Every evil in this world has succumbed to Christ. He's the King who rules this world with peace. Peace which He brought about between the Holy Father and us lost sinners, by paying the price of every one of our sins and satisfying God's justice through His death on the cross and resurrection back to life. On Christmas, we're going to hear the angels again proclaim to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He tells us that in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, "For He Himself is our peace. By abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, thus making peace to God through the cross, He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near." This peace that Christ gives to us calms our fears, calms our worries, calms our anxieties, settles us, fulfills us, assures us of a blessed life here on this earth and a blessed hereafter eternally in heaven. The next verse of our little text this evening, Isaiah says that this peace that the child brings to us and his kingdom is everlasting. Listen again to verse 7. Behold and marvel. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The people of Isaiah's day that were burdened and oppressed had to look forward to that coming to them. That beautiful peace to the child who is the Messiah. We who have been oppressed and burdened by our sins, a fear of death, and the bondage of Satan, and all the troubles in this world, look backwards to that child and to that peace that he brought to us. It's one of the reasons why we have Advent services and why we have Christmas services and all the holidays we have, to look back upon Jesus and all that he's done for us, to give us that peace in our life as we go through the trials and troubles of life, to look back with joy on that eternal peace. We behold, carefully pay attention to, intently look at Jesus, the God-man, who establishes righteousness and justice, who established his kingdom, which is his rule in our hearts, through faith, by his word. In order to do that, Jesus had to endure damnation, God's wrath and hatred and damnation over against my sins and your sins. All that we deserved was removed from us, placed upon Jesus, and he paid for it in full. Jesus' perfect obedient life, his sacrificial death upon the cross, and his resurrection is the very foundation upon which he builds his kingdom. And the kingdom, again, is his ruling in your heart and mine as believers in Christ. The Holy Spirit living in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Behold, the Christ child, the King, did for us. God cannot punish us for our sins because he already punished his Son, Jesus. And that is one reason why every time we mention the cradle or the manger, we have to point to the cross. Because the cradle, without the cross, means absolutely nothing. Behold, meditate on that, and marvel. What a joy for every one of us, God's children, his subjects, to know that the righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. To all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The divine judge's gavel has already come down. The declaration has already been made. Because of our Savior's sacrifice and our victorious King's resurrection, we have been declared not guilty. Innocent. In fact, righteous in Christ. There is peace between us and our Heavenly Father. What a blessing that is. As you look around us at this world of trouble and violence, suffering, evil, wickedness, turmoil, war, strife, immorality, murder, hatred, deceit, cruelty, injustice, sadness, and that's just barely scratching the surface of all the evils in this world. There's one to whom we can turn to for peace. Peace that calms our worries, calms our concerns, a peace that removes from us all of our selfish thoughts, our selfish sins, and also speaks to our hearts and our minds. Even though the majority of us here this evening know this Bible lesson so very, very well, it is still so amazing to behold. Behold, God the Son, living with the Father in heaven, leaving his throne on high, coming down to this earth to become a human baby. Just like you and me. A human being, but without sin. And then going to the cross, after he lived a perfect life of obedient love to his Father, and willingly allowing himself to be damned for you and for me and for even all the unbelievers in this world who never ever believe in him. Behold and marvel. But looks are deceiving. For we know that that little baby laying in the manger, so humble, who died on the cross, is also a victorious king. May that be the Advent and Christmas peace that's in your hearts and mine, not only this Christmas season, but throughout our lifetime. Look at this lesson intently. Pay attention to it. Carefully examine it. Consider it well. Contemplate on it. Behold and marvel. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.